scouring the bottom of my joke pile, I found this. One Sunday, a pastor found several letters awaiting him. He opened one and found it contained a single word, "full." Quietly and with becoming seriousness, he shared the letter with the congregation and announced, "I've known many an instance of a person writing a letter and forgetting to sign his name, but this is the only instance I've ever known of someone signing his name and forgetting to write the letter." Yeah. Well, as Ethel mentioned, it's been just a fascinating week. It's for us, it's been a busy one, but so enjoyed just spending time in the scriptures. And I was thinking in this little series that we've been doing of about four messages on worship and reading about and thinking about the fruit of worship. You know, it's all about God, but there's also a benefit to us. And as I was thinking about this, the number one benefit that happens when we spend time with God, because that's what it is. It's not just singing songs. It's spending time in the presence of the Lord. We get a strength from Him. And particularly when we're in troubled times, sometimes that's the last time we want to worship. But when we're going through stuff, that's the time to worship. And I was drawn to this text that Jim read to us. I want to read it to you in the voice. It just has a different strength than this. I'd use that as a pun. Don't you know, haven't you heard, the eternal, the everlasting God, the creator of the whole world, never gets tired or weary. His wisdom is beyond understanding. God strengthens the weary and gives vitality to those worn down by age and care. Young people will get tired. Strapping young men will stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Eternal One will regain their strength. They will soar on wings as eagles. They will run, never winded, never weary. They will walk, never tired, never faint. I like that. Worship allows us to receive supernatural strength, to go above stuff in life. And you know, when somebody asks you, how are you? And you say, well, under the circumstances, I'm doing okay. No, no, no. We're to be above the circumstances. To soar like an eagle. And so it took this theme of it. There's so much in the scripture about eagles. It's really quite fun to actually research it. There's quite a lot. Eagles are mentioned 34 times in the Bible. Just to give you a little bit of an idea, they're magnificent birds. And as Ethel said, we were privileged to see many of them. In fact, one of the most wonderful sights I saw was a family, or actually I think there were two families of bald eagles out for an afternoon flight. And there were the kids, and there was a mum and dad, and it was an awesome, awesome sight. Amazing. So I want us to consider something about the eagle. It says in Proverbs 30:18, there are three mysteries I find absolutely amazing. No, make it four, I cannot comprehend. The way an eagle flies through the sky, the way a snake moves over a rock, the way a boat glides through the middle of the sea, and the way a man becomes one with his virgin wife. The way of an eagle. They have a mass of about sort of somewhere around about 6.3 kilograms. They have a lifespan of 20 years, although they can live up to as many as 70 years. That's a long time for anybody to live. Seeing as how I've arrived there. They have a wingspan. Adult has a wingspan of about 2+ meters. Some have been measured of up to 3 meters. That is a big wingspan. They're a big bird. They have a speed, a diving speed of 160 km. That's not, I mean, Not too many get away from that. That's fast. And they can see up to 7 kilometers away. They can see prey 7 kilometers. That's sharp eyes. I mean, as you saw in that video, those eyes are pretty penetrating. Well, there's some principles that this morning that I want to share about eagles. They're considered in Israel's history to be royal birds. They have royalty attached to them. Pretty significant thing. They represent royalty for the people of God. And I believe that that's why God has used so often eagles. Now, we see hawks here, but nothing like those birds there in our country. But here's some principles. They're designed to fly unbelievably high. While in the US, we lived at an elevation of around 2,900 meters. And that's a long way up. But eagles, they're away up there around 4,000 meters at times. And they're designed to fly very high. There's only two other birds that have been recorded that have flown higher than eagles. And I noted these, thank you to Mr. Google. It is a Rupel's griffin vulture being spotted flying at 11,000 meters, the same height as the jet that flies across the Pacific. I'm not too sure how they breathe. Wow. And there was a bar-headed goose that had been seen flying over the Himalayas at heights of nearly 8,500 meters. God has got some amazing creatures on earth. And as you read the Bible, it's full of powerful stuff that tell us about this. Eagles live on a very different level. In my research, I listened to T.D. Jakes, who was an awesome, awesome African-American preacher. And he was preaching at Hillsong on this theme of eagles. And this is what he said, and I quote him. Eagles live on another level, a higher level than any other creature. They love, mate on a higher level. They think on a higher level. They function on a higher level. They dream on a higher level. They build on a higher level. There's a message for us in there. When we rest and wait in the Lord, worship Him, when we're exhausted, when we've got issues going on, when we're defeated, when we're facing impossible things, and we all do at times, we will mount up with wings like eagles. And I just thank you for choosing that. I nearly chose that one myself. Jim, you know, just to see that eagle up on a rock just lift off in the wind, that's soaring up. That's mounting up with wings like eagles. Pretty incredible. So eagles fly at a very different altitude. And I think that's important. There's a message in there for us. If we want to fly, if we want to soar like eagles at a higher altitude, it doesn't require us struggling or scrambling around on the deck like chickens. We've got to position ourselves in a higher place in the things of God. We have got to do that. We might have to scramble up. I mean, I love what the ministers at Tapa Nui and a few others there do. Every Sunday, they go up on a high place. They can overlook things there in a high place. Now, that's physically, but they're positioning themselves for a higher place in God. That's what they're doing. So eagles are designed to fly very high. Another thing, eagles flock together. As the old saying goes, birds of a feather flock together. You know that one? They do. Eagles do not mix with other birds. Eagles will search each other out so they can soar together. I often wondered why people would travel thousands of kilometers to go to a church meeting. I know why now. They're eagles. They go where other eagles are, so they can fly together. You don't want to hang out with chickens when you can fly and when you can soar like an eagle. No disrespect to the chickens. But eagles fly at a different altitude. If you're following with me here. Eagles flock together. We're not just forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, there's a move afoot within the Western church to not come together as the people of God. There really is. You know, I can watch a church service on TV or whatever it might be. But look, there's something that's drawing people, really searching out the deep things of God, wanting to worship God, be in His presence. They just love being in His presence together with others. Eagles hang out with eagles. Wasn't too long ago that Benji Alexander organized a worship time here in Gore at Calvin Church. Many of you were there. And they brought out a young worship leader from Redding in California. Approximately 1,100 people were there. Mainly young people, but not exclusively. For worship. What draws people from all over the South Island to Gore, to Calvin Church, to worship? Eagles. They just love to be together. Love to be together. They hang out together. We need to encourage each other. The royal character of our Heavenly Father and the lifestyle that He has is an eagle kind of thing. Here's another one. Eagles do not eat dead things. They only eat something that is alive. They don't eat leftovers. You know, there's something, a theme that runs through the scriptures. Even when the people of Israel, their lowest possible time in history, they've been delivered by the rescuer out of Egypt. And you think, wow, 400 years our people have been in slavery and they're in the desert and they were starving. And they cried out to God and they said, we need food. And what did He give them? Not eagles, but Kentucky Fried Chicken. No, He gave them quail. And He also gave them manna, daily food. And they could only have it fresh for the day. If you tried to do it the next day, it was maggoty and moldy. Eagles only have live food. They only crave that which is living and the life of God. As the people of God, what are we looking for? What are we craving? Live food? Life? Or are we just happy with leftovers? Eagles don't eat dead things. This is what Jesus said in Scripture in John 6. For my flesh is food indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Always tell when eagles have been eating live things. Yeah, eagles only eat living things. Here's another thing. Eagles love storms. I was fascinated to read this. They love storms. Most other birds, when there's a storm coming, they duck for cover. They fly as fast as they can to get away from the storms. But eagles, they face the storms. And like we saw in that video, when the winds come, there's always a precursor to a storm. The winds come. What do? They just lift and rise above it. In a matter of seconds, they're above the storm. And then they actually get to enjoy flying in the storm. Eagles always soar above storms. If we're eagle-type Christians, when the storms in life come, what are we going to do with it? Going to run from it? Going to let it bowl us over? Or are we going to spread our wings and fly above the storms? Eagles face the trials, the tribulations, the temptations. We all face them. And if we're eagle kind of Christians, we're going to soar above them. I want you to notice again, time and time again in this video, and I watched it I don't know how many times this past week, I got so captivated by it. When I saw the eagle face the storm, no effort. No effort. Mount up with wings like eagles. No effort when the storms come. How many times do we agonize, strive, struggle, try to find a smart solution, try to do everything in our own energy instead of trusting in God? How many times? And after a time, it sounds bizarre, almost masochistic, but after a time, we get to actually enjoy trials in difficult places, in difficult times, like eagles. How come? Because it's in those times that we prove that God is who He is. He said He is. This is what it says in James, James 1. Don't run from tests and hardship, brothers and sisters. As difficult as they are, you will ultimately find joy in them if you embrace them. Your faith will blossom under pressure and teach you true patience as you endure. And true patience brought on by endurance will equip you to complete the long journey and cross the finish line, mature, complete, and wanting nothing. How about that? That's what it means to face the storms like an eagle. Embrace them. Embrace those trials, those difficulties. All of us look to escape them, don't we? We want to escape the difficult things. But eagles go and hit them head on. They confront them. We need to make a huge decision. Accept the trials. Embrace the difficult times. Embrace even the dark times. You know, I know there's a thinking that we should try to always escape the difficult stuff, to always live on the mountaintops. Well, I don't know, I've done a little bit of hiking in my time, and I know that mountaintops always have an uphill grind to get there, and a very tricky one coming down the other side. And you can't stay up there. You can't stay up there. Unless you are designed like an eagle and you can actually fly. Here's another one. Eagles test before trusting. The female eagle, this is a bit interesting. The female eagle during courtship always takes a male one into the air after picking up a twig from the ground, go to a certain height, drop it for the male to chase it. This is a mating courting ritual. Once the male catches hold of it, brings it back, the female flies to a higher altitude and drops it in the same way. This is repeated until the female gets an assurance that the male has mastered the art of seriously picking up the twigs in real love and affection. And once they get hooked up in trust, the father and the mother eagle mate for life. And they work together as parents. And they mate and make love in the air. But it's always after a test of trust. There is a message in there for us. There is. The Apostle Paul made it clear that we must enter the kingdom of God's love. A lover's joy and peace and righteousness through trial. Is what he said in Timothy 2 Timothy 3:12. You have been a good student. You've been closely observed how I've lived. You've followed my instructions, my habits, my purpose, my faith, my patience. You've watched how I love and have seen how I endure. You have been with me through persecutions and sufferings. Remember what they did to me at Antioch, in Iconium and Lystra. I endured all of it, and the Lord rescued me from it. Anyone wishing to live a godly life in Jesus the Anointed will be hunted down and persecuted. God tests us. He does. I always wondered about this. I know that the enemy will tempt us, But God tests us. Whole different thing. Whole different thing. God tested Abraham, remember? Before he trusted him as dear friend for eternity, he tested him. He gave him an opportunity to prove who he was. And you know, when the trials and those things come, the tests, just see how we're going to handle them. Testing us. Once the tests are over, God trusts us, establishes us, puts us in a place of great responsibility. You know, one of the amazing things that I think about the church is that God trusts us with the church. A lot of people are looking for a magical God. God is not a God of magic. He has tested us, his people, and put us in responsible places to fulfill his purposes on the earth. Isn't that awesome? You're allowed to say yes. Okay, eagles train its children to maturity. Thousands of meters up in the rocky places on earth. They protect their kids. They teach them then to fly. I was going to say fly like an eagle. But they teach them to fly. They always build their nests in high places where their enemies can't easily get at them. The male eagle picks up thorns, lays it on the cliff as an outer shell of protection. Then builds, brings twigs to form another layer over it, the ruggedness, and then lines it with feathers and other mats and rugs and bits and pieces of things that they can find. Soft grass even. And the finishing touches for the nest is completed. And when it's done, they put their feathers over it, just to protect it. So when we go through times of trials and hardship, God covers us with his feathers. This is the feminine side of God. I risk saying that here. He covers us with his wings. We find refuge in that covering of his wings. So both male and female eagles participate in raising the eagle family. She lays the eggs and protects them. He builds the nest and hunts. Now, in training, the mother eagle will throw the eaglets out of the nest and the eaglets will get scared and will always try to come back to the comfort zone of the nest. She pushes them out and they'll want to come back. We always like our comfort places. We want to come back to a safe place. So slowly the eagle begin to remove the bits and pieces of the nest on the inside. The soft grass gets removed. And you know what ends up left in the nest? Prickles and thorns. And so that nice, comfortable nest has prickles and thorns, and it's not so comfortable anymore. I would put it to you that our church is in a place similar. A lot of the comfortable things are no longer there for us. And we are now being pushed out of the nest a little, the comfort zone, the comfortable place, the easy place. We've got some tough decisions to make. The eaglets may feel that their mother and father are doing some cruel things as they feel the thorns that make them bleed and starts to push them out of that comfortable place. So many times as we believe, as we try to stay in that comfort zone of the old season. And the Lord has kept us there for a time, but the Lord takes us into situations that may seem difficult and cruel and hard and even sometimes harsh. We're even fearful. Here's the definition of fearful. It's or an acrostic. False evidence appearing real. But a mother and father eagle deal with this. They help the children out of the nest, out of the comfort zone. Out of the comfort zone of our old, outdated season. I believe, Ethel and I sense that we need to get a little bold with us as a church from here at the moment. That because if we don't take notice of some of the things that are coming before us, we will be hurt by it. And we want to be a little more protective. I guess we want to feel that way. We've come to love you so much. But we're now entering a new season for this parish. And it is tough. It's not easy. We need to be like the eagle, no effort. But we've got to soar. We've got to fly. We can't stay squabbling around like chickens. The comfort zone is now being rusted up, you know, scratched up a little bit. A new season like the eaglets face. You've got to jump out of the thorny nest. And then the mother eagle pushes them off the cliff into the air. Good night. What a tough thing to do. Out of control. Never flown before. And the eaglets drop like rocks, scrambling all over the place, their feathers going this way. And guess what happens? Just before they're about to hit a very hard place, at 160 k's, comes Dad. And underneath, they fall onto his outstretched wings. And he flies them back up to the nest again, and they have another go. Mum knocks them over, and Dad comes down, picks them up, takes them back for as long as it takes. There is a message in there for us. We're going to be knocked out of our comfort zones, but Daddy is coming, and he takes us up in his outstretched wings. Gives us another shot until we learn how to soar like an eagle. God said to the Israelites who faced consistent trials, tribulations, and times of great testing, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." God is always doing this kind of thing. He's always doing it. This is the last point I want to share with you this morning. Eagles retreat until new feathers grow. Now, I've got a clip. You okay with that one there, Jess? Thanks. Just a brief little clip. In it is a lot of stuff. I didn't know that about an eagle. But the more I researched the way of an eagle, the fascinating thing is that it lives again. It gets a chance in its old age to live again. But the task is painful. It retreats for a period of 5 or 6 months. It can't fly very well anymore. Its beak is all sort of bent out of shape. Its talons have lost their sharpness. Its feathers become thick and they can't fly with the speed it used to and the agility. It's going to die It can't feed itself, can't look after itself. It's going to die. Or it can go through a process of pain and live again. It stays in the hiding place until all the new feathers come back, until the talons have grown, until the beak comes back. God has so designed that bird to live again for another 30 years or so. Unbelievable. Amazing. But this is a message about the way of an eagle of personal renewal. It really is. And it's a painful one. We've talked a lot about revival in our time and in our church, haven't we? I'm kind of working on a message about revival, because I think we've got some stinking thinking about revival. Revival requires, I believe, with all my heart, to go through a process like the eagle, so that we can fly again. It's not magic. We have to position ourselves and set ourselves aside. This is what it means to wait. It's active waiting. It's not passive. It's not sitting and waiting for something to happen. Something will not happen until we happen. And sometimes we've got to go and pull ourselves aside and smack our beak around until we get rid of that old thing, because it doesn't work anymore. Those talons that used to grab hold of things can't get it anymore. We've got to get rid of those, pluck them out. All those feathers that stop us from soaring and flying, they've got to be plucked out until new ones come. That's revival. That's reviving us. Personal renewal. There will be no corporate renewal until there's personal renewal. When will revival happen? When we get revived. It's not a certain date in the future. It's now, it's this afternoon. If we want that to be so. So there is no change if we don't change. It requires a drastic change of lifestyle. I don't know if you know how drastic it will be. It is. It's huge. Because we can't do it like we've always done, whatever it is we're doing. To keep on doing what we've always been doing and expect a different result is a definition of insanity. We want change, but we don't want to change. We want it to be different, but we don't want to be different. We want everything to happen, but we don't want it to happen, because it requires us to go through a period like the eagle goes through. Ephesians 4 puts it this way. If you've heard Jesus and have been taught by him according to the truth that is in him, then you know to take off your former way of life, your crumpled old self, that dark blot of a soul corrupted by deceitful desire and lust, to take the fresh breath and to let God renew your attitude and spirit. And then you're ready to put on your new self, modeled after the very likeness of God, truthful, righteous, and holy. Colossians 3 puts it this way. But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have been put off the old man with its deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We need to actively wait on the Lord, constantly in prayer in the secret place, the hiding place. Dealing with those issues and those things. Then, no effort will mount up with wings like eagles. How are we really with the Lord today? You know, the last thing I'd like us to go away from this place is beat up. We need to be built up. The purpose of the eagle parent to deal with their children and kick them out of the nest, mess up their comfort zones, so they would soar and fly without effort. I know it's been 5 minutes longer in our time today, but let's listen. Or you might want to stand and sing. I don't know, you might not be able to help yourself, but Josh Groban is one of our favorite singers. I don't think he's a believer, but he sings this song, "You Raise Me Up," in a very powerful way. And it's a song we probably all know. So probably we could stand and sing. Let's do it.
Raise me up.
Lord, I ask today that you would take all that we've shared together this morning, and I sense it's been good to be together. Lord, thank you for the amazing example of an eagle, learning the way of an eagle, that we might mount up, rise up with wings like eagles. And even the song that we've sung here at this moment, that we stand on another's shoulder. We're strong when we're like that. We're weak when we're not like that. And so, God, I pray that as we leave this place today, you'll cause us to have a desire to be like an eagle in all that that means. And I ask this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. As is always, not always do we say so, but look, we're here to pray with you, to talk, to listen. You know, don't go away from this place worse than when you came in. And go away built up rather than beat up. And God bless you as you go.